Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
It's a superior beer, man. You heard the pop, kid. That's off a little chubby right there.
I like those little fat bottles.
This fat bottle is so nice, bro.
It reminds me of the Red Stripe.
Yeah, it does. It does have that feel, because the best part about Red Stripe was how it felt in your hand.
Man, that's the best part about Jamaica's, the Red Stripe. The Red Stripe, man.
That's, you know, one time I was in the Caribbean, I got a conch, and the guy was juicing, you know, he's putting the citrus in my conch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like a ceviche or whatever. And he's doing it, but when he does the juice, he's doing his hand upside down so that all the juice, like all you had to do is turn his mitt over and then the juice would go straight into my dish.
Yeah.
From the juice.
Seems to make sense.
But instead, in true fashion of this guy's artistic approach to the conch of the Bohemian people and their island delicacies, he turned his palm over and he squeezed the juice.
So his palm was facing the sky.
Yeah, and that way all the juice first ran all over his fists and wrists and then went into my food.
Why not? Why wouldn't you enjoy whatever his mitts have picked up during that shift inside your conch? I mean, why wouldn't you want a piece of him in every sip?
It's like, do you want a taste of the culture or not, friends? Right, what are we doing here? Are you popping a suitcase out? Is this the same as you'd feel if you went to St. Paul, Minnesota? Or are we trying to make a move here, bro?
I wonder if you were to consume the conch in the fashion that he was preparing it and adding the citrus. If you were to like get home from your vacation and submit to 23andMe, if it would come back and show that you were of Bohemian heritage because you have all his skin cells still in your gum line.
So it could possibly be, see, there's a genetic crisscrossing happening here, a genetic mutation between conch fisherman / ceviche maker.
And well, myself. And plus when you're submitting for the 23andMe, you're swabbing your mouth. So you just have his skin cells. Just
imagine that, though. He turned his hand. All he had to do was go like this, like just face the fruit down. But he took it, bro. And I sat there and
face
I was watching
the sky.
And I watched him and he did it. It was almost like poetry to him. He had his headset in when he did it. And I looked and I was so mesmerized by the fact that I'm watching a man just let citrus and fruit juice drip down his fat conch mitt into my drink that I could see each individual dripping.
What
a little dripple drop down the outside part right here. I would see it catch into his skin there. You know, when you make that fist and you get that hard skin on the outside of your palm, I would see it. It was like Plinko. Like Plinko, but with the juices.
What if right before that shift, he rubbed one out? He went in the bathroom and just fucking smacked it hard.
Just smacked it. There's no AC down there either. He was
dumped his load, you know, and just wiped his hand across like his, in the inside of his shirt. And then he came out and was like, who wants catch?
I walked up like, I'll take a conch. I'll take some conch, sir. Can you give me your conch? Yes, please. Oh, extra conch, please. Extra.
Oh, yes.
Extra,
all of it.
Sir. All of the juices, sir. All of them. All of the sweet nectar you can afford to part with, my man.
Oh, Julie,
okay, thank you. I'll be back. I got to get a vaccine shot again. Thank you, sir. My eye went straight for 2 weeks, bro. I went back down there to find the guy because I go, well, whatever he's doing there, straighten my eye out for 2 weeks. It wore off. I started to look around like if it was Adderall, and I'm in a new place.
I need the fruit toward the sky conch guy. Where is he at? Oh, he's off today. No.
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 Oh, I'm.
I gotta hit the beach in a bit.
I need this, man. My eye has now gone lazy again. I'm talking to chicks at an angle again. Hurry up and get this man back to his conch station.
I just fucking love. Like, he's like, you come to my country, this is how you consume conch. Why do we just, you know, another guy puts it underneath his armpit and just squeezes down and lets it run as he stands up over the conch and lets it run down from his armpit into the conch.
I'll tell you what, that's another level of culinary artistry. I've never seen anybody literally take like a culture and actually add it to, like, I know that there's different fruits and spices and things, right? But like actual physical genetic coding of a culture has never been done, I don't think. And I'm very, again, that's just me reflecting on a life, on one of my 3 to 10 lives that I've already lived, Todd.
That's so many lives. So many lives. I just appreciate the fact this guy is like, I'm the vessel. I got to create my own unique way to citrus this conch up. I'm just going, doesn't matter what I've done with these. They don't have the regulations there. They don't have the regulations there face here in the States.
He started clapping and it would look like, I felt like I was started to walk through a car wash because it was when he started clapping from all the juices splashing.
Well, sure.
Do you remember the first time you got your armpit to make the fart noise with your hand in there?
Oh, man.
What a glorious day that was.
It took me a week to get that down. I was practicing. Oh. I was so jealous. All my friends on the bus cranking those out, big long ones.
Yeah. Bro, and you could, and you used to get it every, like, at first you're getting it out of nowhere after flapping like a fucking goose for 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't get it. Then you figure out the angle, right? Oh, shit. It's like pulling a slot machine, kid. And then you hit 1 out of 10, then 1 out of 20, 1 out of 18. And then pretty soon you're a fucking one man band, bro. And you and your boys are linking up like it's the Jersey Boys.
There was a kid in my class who could do it without putting his hand in there.
Whoa, that's next level.
Yeah, he was not a thin kid, let's put it that way. But he had enough meat under there. He could get it just right.
Yeah.
It was just legendary.
Man. Hats off to that kid.
You know, I mean, hats off, it doesn't matter what your standing is in your class at that point, but you're elevated immediately to elite status. You're popular right away. It doesn't matter what else you have going on. If you can do a handless armpit fart,
you're royalty in elementary school for sure.
Yeah, probably up until at least 7th grade.
You're a legend until at least 7th grade.
Things are going to fall off after that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're, you know, maybe jumping the shark there in 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, those 6th and 7th grade, humongous nuts, kid.
Big years for the handless armpit fart kid.
Kid was the only kid where the cheerleaders came and sit at his table.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I put that right up there with the first time you whistle or any kind of different whistle, like when you first figure out how to do the whistle with the blades grass, how you do just a basic. And then also the whistle with the fingers, which I never could do that.
I could never. I've never once accomplished a finger whistle.
I did for a little while have a lip whistle, but I was sucking in, and then I smoked a lot of weed, so that I started to get lightheaded. So I didn't want to do that one as much.
Mm.
But you can see, I got the top part. You can hear, like, when you pinch your lips together, like it's in there. I used to be able to rip them every once in a while.
But now
that's another level, bro.
With the pinkies.
Can you do some of those?
I can't. I've never been able to do it.
What else is up there on that list, bro? The first time you see a little black peach fuzz layer pop out, like it's fucking easy, like Sunday morning when you get the pubes in your armpits and your penis.
Mm-hmm.
You got the whistle, the arm fart. Also, some kids took another level. They did the leg arm fart, like with the leg down there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then obviously pubic hair growth.
We're talking about Red Stripe in Jamaica, and I almost forgot the story. The only time I'd ever been to Jamaica, we went to this golf course. It was a destination wedding, right? So all the guys, the groom party, we go golfing while the girls do like spa day, I think, or whatever.
Yeah.
So we got this really nice golf course, right? And we're playing, and you get a caddy. Our caddy, ironically, he went by Tiger. That was his name. And
Smart kid. Real
skinny Jamaican kid, you know, good. He's probably mid 20s. Uh-huh. So He's riding along. He would actually ride on the back of your cart. So he would just stand and hold the rail. So me and my other buddy, Marcus is a huge dude. Lefty. He could just launch a golf ball. But at the time, I could drive the hell out of a golf ball. So we get into this. We decided to have a driving contest for $100.
To drive off.
Mm-hmm. So he gets up there. He kind of half-ass whoopee, a big slice. So he only gets probably maybe 220 out of his. And I'm like, okay, not his best drive, but decent. So I get up there. That's my chance. I'm a King Kong this motherfucker. I'm drunk, so I just rear back, and I just give it everything I got. And that ball went at a 90-degree angle somehow. Like, you could not – the best trick golf shot guy could not accomplish that angle on a consistent basis. So he shoots off at a 90-degree angle from me, and then – we see feathers everywhere. I hit a pigeon. You have these pigeons everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I hit a pigeon, and the pigeon explodes. Just kill this pigeon. Walk over there. Its neck's broken, you know? So
Did you tape it off with little tiny piece of yellow tape? Like, you, because you see a cop.
Like a crime scene?
There. Yeah.
No, they don't work murders in Jamaica. So we think nothing of it, right? We go, we laugh it up like it's hilarious, whatever. And then we get back in our carts and we're just drinking and golfing. And on my cart, me and my buddy are riding. And then we're like, what the fuck are these feathers everywhere that as we're driving, like blowing in our face and stuff. And so we look up, the cart, Tiger is riding the cart ahead of us, and he is defeathering the pigeon. And so we stopped the carts. We're like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, oh, this is a delicacy. We're going to eat this tonight. And I was like, what? You're going to cook that pigeon? And he's like, yeah. I was like, dude, you're welcome. You're welcome. That's your tip. I fucking killed dinner for this dude while playing golf.
You're out here hunting.
At the wedding party.
That's awesome, bro. Did you guys eat the fucking pigeon?
No, he took it home. I wasn't going to.
Oh, he took it home.
Yeah, he defeathered it, took all the feathers off, threw it in his little. Side pack.
I wonder if pigeons actually delicious or not. Like, if it's like, do we think it because all we do is see him just fucking chipping away at trash or whatever? But I eat bacon, and I'm not exactly sure that those guys are at the fucking the Wynn Vegas brunch buffet every day.
Yeah, have you seen pigs eat? I mean, come on, they just eat trash.
They eat their own asshole sometimes. You know that they're the only species that their asshole grows back every 5 days because they eat it out of their ass.
Is that right?
They eat the elasticity out of their own asshole.
Mm.
That's why the bacon's so good.
They can consume a whole body. You know, that's the best way to get rid of a body. Just dump them into a bunch of pigs in a pig.
That's why if you ever hear anybody say, feed them to the pigs, now you know why. It takes 8 pigs 45 minutes to consume an entire 180-pound body.
Remember that? Yeah, from dang it.
Not Lock Stock, the Snatch. Other fucking Guy Ritchie. Snatch. Yeah.
Yeah. I probably every bird tastes good, right? Any kind of bird, it's going to taste similar to chicken, I got to think. Like a bald eagle probably tastes like chicken. Pigeon tastes like chicken. Robin, sparrow, buzzard. I don't know. Would you eat a buzzard? Like,
no, not a buzzard. That's just a dead diet.
Yeah, that's gonna be. I don't know. No, I guess if I get hungry enough.
If I'm fucking lost in the mountains because my lady wanted to go on a hike, right? And then we made a couple of long turns. And she was going for the record, and next thing you know, we're fucking completely twisted around and dumped up, dumped out in the middle of nowhere. I have to eat a buzzard. I'm going to have to kill a buzzard if I have the opportunity to feed my lady and be a real man. You know what I mean? They're eating buzzard.
I always thought that, like, if I'm stranded out somewhere in the desert and it looks like I'm not going to make it, it looks like I'm going to starve to death, I'm just going to lay there and act dead until a buzzard comes down. And then I'm just going to spring up on it, break its neck real quick.
Dummy.
And then defeather it. I guess I got to gut it somehow. I got to find a sharp rock or sharpen a rock to get all the. Yeah. You got to get the intestines out.
Yeah, you got to get all that out. All the organs.
Maybe cut the meat off. Just lay it out on a hot rock. Let it cook enough. I don't know.
You hear that shit in the background. Ah! Ah! But from a distance, you know what I mean?
Uh huh. That's my survival plan. in the desert.
I think it's a good idea. You might want. You might. You know what? Maybe we, I think there's a business mark. There's a business move here.
I think I could survive a long time.
A spray that makes you smell dead.
Yeah.
You spray on yourself to lay there. Oh, this guy's dead. I can smell it. It's like a cologne for buzzards, right? For gay buzzards.
Also would come handy in the zombie apocalypse, because if zombies smell that you're dead, they won't bother you.
Oh, right there. Boom. Look at that. Take, cut this out. Where are we at here? Cut that out. We are at 1439, I believe. So cut that right there, right before 14 or so.
But my,
you can't give that one up.
My survival plan in the desert is buzzards and cactus. I'll stay hydrated from the cactus, and I'll stay fed from trapping buzzards.
Do you know what two cactuses are called?
What?
Cacti. I don't know why that was even funny.
I thought that was a single cactus.
No,
maybe
no.
I'm wrong. So multiple cactuses. Cacti.
Cacti.
Damn.
I have a fucking lazy eye in Arizona. They should have called me cacti.
Oh, they missed out, dude.
They fucking, everybody that ever made fun of me that didn't like me, you had in Arizona, and I lived there for years, man. You guys all dropped the ball. You uncreative little haters.
Come on.
Fucking cacti. Come on, guy. One time a guy did call me Buckeye. He said his buck ass tooth.
Oh, really?
School said, yo, what up, Buckeye? And I was like, oh, that's a good one, bro. I had a bucked ass tooth, bro. This one right here. That used to be fucking sticking out, and then I chipped it when I was like 25.
Wow.
So it used to stick. I think you knew me when I was, no, you might have known right at the beginning. I bet I still had the buck chip.
You had a chipped tooth when I first started hanging out with you, for sure.
Yeah, I had that big ass front, busted, broke, fucking buck chip tooth.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got the buck tooth fixed, I sent a picture to Fluffy.
Uh-huh.
And Fluffy posted on there, this fool got his tooth fixed or something like that. Like, look at this. He did something, bro. And he posted some shit. And that was like, I was a hero that day for fixing my tooth. Cause so many people hit me up.
He
posted it.
I bet. That's legendary. Cause you had a chipped tooth the whole tour with him, I assume.
Yeah. And then I got fixed that first year. I got it fixed towards the end of the year in Vegas.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I was fucking lights out from there, kid. Lights out. The kid's got his tooth fixed. This new superior beer, man. No free ads, but Jesus. My lady's like, let's get a case and take it home. And I was like, because it's only like $2 to go. So I was like, it was probably like $60. But considering you can't find it anywhere, considering how delicious it is, how well it fits in my mitt. Like, come on, $2 beers? I mean, people are buying White Claws for $4, and that's from a liquor store, bro. Mm. It's like $12 for a fucking 4-pack or some shit.
It is. You know, now I'm thinking about it, I think I've never seen this. It would be a freaking great idea. A restaurant that's just every kind of bird you can think of. Every bird you're allowed to slaughter and then serve as a meal, you serve it. Just all thing birds. Birds of prey.
Yeah.
Maybe you just call it Birds of Prey. It's all Birds of Prey.
That's
birds
a great restaurant.
Other things.
This is at 17 minutes. Cut that out. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know which ones aren't protected, but we'd find out.
I'll tell you what. A lot of people don't know this, but when there's a bird that's considered protected, it literally has two other birds in black suits and sunglasses and earpiece and following them around and protecting them.
Oh, yeah.
People forget that sometimes, man, because it's so overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy. I mean, think it's easy to overlook. Why would a bird essentially have fucking secret service? I'll tell you why. It's endangered.
Endangered. It's protected species.
Hello.
It's like being the president.
Come on.
You're protected for life afterward. Same thing once you're protected species. What, man, what if one day we're endangered species? The humans are endangered species, and we're on the protected species list. It's probably going to happen one day, right?
Pretty sure we already are.
Who's going to, I don't know who's going to listen to it. Like, if it's only us and wild animals, but there's not enough of us around, will wild animals obey the protected species laws?
I'll say this also. What if we are like all the times that people are getting, there's what? However many thousands of people that come up missing every year. Mm-hmm. That's just other civilizations treating us the way we used to treat elephants, right? So it's like, yo, they just come down here, snag us out of our natural habitat and fucking throw us in with a universal circus.
Absolutely.
And that's all we are. And here's a lazy eye, one with a semi pot belly. He hails from Los Angeles, but we snatched him from the jungles of New Jersey. Do your thing, buddy.
Do you? Oh, fuck. I just lost. You ever do that? I just totally blanked. My mind went to, oh,
all the time,
if you had to guess what percentage of missing persons, because you hear about people missing persons all the time, out of the reported missing persons, what percentage, if you had to guess, are actually abducted by aliens?
About 3 to 5.
3 to 5%. I think that's probably pretty accurate.
Listen, if they can hide in the clouds and they can move around without being detected through water and air and blah, 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 it looks like a dot. Mm-hmm. They can scoop you up real quick, bro. Come on, man. If you don't believe me, just watch the movie Fire in the Sky. That's the truth right there.
And that was a true story.
100%. Fire in the Sky. I got done watching Fire in the Sky as a kid, and I was like, this is 100% a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Why would anybody lie about that? Why would anybody lie?
They found material inside his body they couldn't identify.
Yeah.
In the real life story.
He had metals
that they'd never identified before. They were of this earth.
Hello? Guess what? That's called non-worldly, guys. I was on board with it. But I think that maybe there's a universal circus out there, Todd.
That just shows how shitty, like, outer space or alien being surgeons are. They're leaving pieces of material behind you. That doesn't even happen here. Every now and then you hear of it. Oh, somebody, you know, they got home from their surgery, got an infection. They go back in. Oh, we left the sponge inside you. But you would think, like, with alien technology, they have the ability to tractor beam you up to the mothership, that you think they would have a cleaner, like, surgery.
An outpatient, realm. A better outpatient, you know?
Why are we leaving foreign material inside you?
Like, what are we doing here? Swapping out kidneys in a fucking back room motel in Thailand? Have some respect.
Mm. These aren't.
Is that the worst thing to happen on a trip? Is you wake up and someone fucking stole one of your kidneys?
Oh, dude.
Can you imagine that? You just fucking, that guy just hanging out in a fucking tub of ice and shit?
You're at some club. Somebody tells you, hey, I'm buying this one. Okay. They hand you a drink. Next thing you know, you just wake up in some shitty ass hotel room. Oh, my back hurts. Freaking big ass freaking staples running from your butt line to your shoulder blade. Oh,
poor.
You only got one kidney now.
People, you ever watch the show where they take the person who got in trouble? It's called something to do with smuggling, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll take somebody who got caught up in a situation and they explain their story and all the way through their bust and what they had to do, like what jails. You know, I was a Canadian and I was a French Canadian and I was in this country and this had us opportunity and blah, blah, blah. So I did it and it worked and I made $20,000. So I went back and did it again and I did it again. And then the fifth time didn't go so well. And then it just tells the whole story about the airport, getting x-rayed and fucking being tossed in a fucking Bermuda Triangle prison and shit somewhere in fucking Vietnam. It's a great show. I don't know the name of it, but
that's my worst nightmare. Like I always thought, I forget what story this was, but I always thought it was a great way. Like if you wanted to really get rid of somebody, like you somehow arrange for a trip to Thailand for them. And then you just put like cocaine in their bag. There's a little bit of cocaine. And then that's call in a tip once they get in to the airport in Thailand, because it's like a life sentence.
Yeah.
To smuggle drugs into Thailand.
Yeah, if you ever win the trip, if you ever quote unquote win a free trip, all expense paid trip to Thailand, just don't go, man.
Don't do it. Somebody's setting you up.
It's a fucking setup, bro. I bet you they're going to throw in free luggage too, bro.
Mm.
Comes with a free new suitcase.
Have you ever been to Thailand?
I have not been to Thailand, but I have been to Hong Kong.
Mm.
I have been to the Buddha statue. I have been to the Christ of the Redeemer statue in Brazil. I've been to the Statue of Liberty. I've also violated a few statutes in my 20s, a couple of statutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I have been to those three. I have been to there's another one I've been to. I can't think of it, but I've been to the fucking Eiffel Tower. I've been to the Panama Canal. I've been to the Statue of Liberty. I've been to the Christ the Redeemer statue in Brazil. I've been to the Hong Kong fucking the Buddha statue outside of Hong Kong. And I've also been to Sugarloaf in Brazil. And I've also, that's all I can think of right now. Oh, I've been to Cape Cod. I've been to the most southern tip of South America.
Mm.
I'm sorry, South Africa.
Mm.
There's some other ones in there. There's some other ones in there.
I've hardly ever been out of the country. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Jamaica. I've been to Norway. I think that's about it.
I've been in the tunnel that goes underneath the water from Hong Kong to Kowloon. I've been a Sugarloaf, which is the fucking that's the one that looks like the two mountains, like the little mountain and the big mountain, but very, very steep and sharp.
Why do they call it Sugarloaf?
Well, because the clouds hum around the top of it. So it looks like a Sugarloaf, Sugarloaf bread or whatever.
Really?
Because of the white on top of like how steep those things are. The tram that takes you from the ground to the first one to the second one is incredible. Brazil, we partied there. We did our thing. We did our drinking or whatever. But it was mostly about seeing landmarks, me and my buddies, and just getting out there and just being a part of it. And just being in the wilderness. Like, that place is a fucking jungle, man. It's an organized, chaotic jungle is what Brazil is. Well, you know, and fucking, I can't even think of the name right now, the city.
Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah, in Rio. You can't even rent mopeds and shit there because the people on the street drive, no, bro, you can't. We're not letting randos fucking show up over here from New Jersey and start driving around mopeds in Brazil, you dumb fucks.
It's evidently the craziest place I don't want to say the craziest place in the world, but it's like a lawless place, right? Evidently.
It's a war. It's basically like Mexico but farther down. Like,
right.
How the relationship between good and evil work out there, quote unquote, good and evil.
I had lunch one time. I went to a seminar. I've been to like two seminars with Wellington Megaton Diaz, like jiu-jitsu god. And, world-class judo champion and jiu-jitsu champion. And he said that, you know, because they would always bring in big-time jiu-jitsu people from America, always want to go down there to train, right? So yeah. MMA people, whatever. And I forget who they said these two were, but I knew them. They were MMA people. But anyway, he said that they were coming down to train. And immediately when they got off the airport, they wanted to get some weed. Couldn't bring weed with them, so they want to get some weed. So whoever picked them up from the airport, the taxi driver or whatever, they asked them where they could get some weed, and he's like, oh, I'll take you. So he calls somebody, and then he drives them up into like this fucking mountain, and they're like, oh, fuck, where are we going? And he's like, no, it's all good. He gets them up there, and there's two cops sitting there in a patrol car, and they're like, oh, what the fuck? And they get them out, and the cops rob them of all their money. They had like $3,500 a piece on them, take all their money. And then Megaton was like, he's like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. He said, give us your money. So he just gave him the money. He's like, you gave them all your money? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you give them $20. Everything's $20. You don't go to jail. It's $20. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, everybody. He's like, you didn't tell us that. Like, there was no instructions. Hey, if the police grab you up before you get here to the jiu-jitsu gym, then just give them $20 and you're scotch free. Like, no one told us that. And he's evidently that's just the way it was. And maybe it's a little more now, inflation. Maybe it's 30, something like that. But Jesus. And his dad was a general or something in the army. And there they have the army and then police. Both like, it's kind of like Mexico, right? They're both like out. Crime fighting or whatever, or corrupted.
That's corruption. A lot of money, bro. 7 G's.
So they are always at odds with each other, I guess, the police and the military there, at least at this time. And he said, when he was growing up, he was kind of a hellion. He was always fighting and stuff. And he got in trouble one time. He hit a cop, basically. Cops, he said, cops always harassed him. So he punched a cop, knocked him down, gets arrested. He's thrown in jail. And then his stepdad was a general. So his stepdad just comes in there and just starts shelling out money. They let him out, take him home. I'm like, what a country, dude. Can you imagine? Like, people bitch about it here. Like, we have our problems here. But can you imagine if that was your criminal justice system?
Like, just like, my dad will come in there and buy me out, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's like that's above the law as fuck, man.
People like.
Poor people are going to jail for stealing a sucker. Rich people are out here drop kicking fucking police sergeants and just walking out later that day with the stolen sucker.
It's from the nuts. Other guy. What a place. I wish I knew more about it. But that was one story that he told, and I was like, I don't know if I ever want to go there, but. You know,
What?
Always afraid to get robbed or murdered.
And I'll say, I did some shit there while we shouldn't have done. You know, and I might have even told the story. I don't know if it's on our podcast or not, but you know, it's quick. We were talking. My buddy won a trip for three or something, to Brazil off of soccer.com in like 2010 or something,
mm-hmm.
maybe 11. I don't know, maybe 12 in that era. And it was definitely 11 or 12. Anyways, his wife couldn't go. So his other buddy couldn't go. So he calls me up, and we've been boys for years, you know, but I lived in California for years, and we've always been really good buddies. He's like, bro, you're the third person on the list, man. He goes, my homie I hang out with here can't go. My wife can't go. You want to go to Brazil? Free hotel and flight. All you got to do is pay for your visa or whatever. It was like $300 for a visa. He's like, and then whatever you want to spend, and you're good. He goes, we got dinners lined up. We have these soccer game to go to. And then we'll just sightsee and do our thing. And I'm like, fuck yeah. I told Gabriel that, and he gave me a bonus when I left. He gave me a $1,000 bonus to go there and just to make sure that I have a good time.
Really?
Yeah. And then that's And then the three of us went. And when we were at the hotel, we're staying at the Sofitel, which is a very nice hotel. So the guy that worked there was like this fucking beefed up dude. He was cool as shit the whole time. So he goes, guys, you want to go get some real food, man? You want to go see some shit? And then Brazilian neighborhood, bro, like where I'm from? And we're like, yeah. We do want to do that. So I write a letter in the hotel room. We're with the fucking guy. We're with the guy that works here. If we die, he took us to his neighborhood, eat burgers and fucking watch a soccer game or something. Right.
Uh-huh.
Like it was, we were sitting there laughing as I wrote the letter.
If we don't come back.
Yeah. We don't come back.
Look for this guy.
Like they wouldn't have just opened the door and went and took all of our stuff anyways. And then the note, right.
Yeah. And then they would have found that guy, and that guy would have had to pay him $20.
Yeah.
Not go to prison for murder.
But dude, we got in a car with him, bro. And we took off into the fucking, where all the little houses are and shit. And it was a very simple night. It was very dark, but there was like, you know how we have like basketball courts in cages? They just do that with soccer there. Mm. And it's lit up like it's the fucking Superdome because they have huge lights in the small court. But the rest of the neighborhood is super, super dark. So it looked really awesome, right? Like a,
oh yeah,
like a chopper light coming down on a suspect fleeing, right?
Oh yeah.
And then we sat there. There was like these cool ass, like weird tasting burgers with beans and shit. Like, I don't know. I remember exactly, but I remember some kind of bean being involved in it. And it was just delicious, bro. These weird cheeseburgers and fucking drinking their beers and just watching this neighborhood soccer game. And while we all just drank and kicked it. No one died. We made it back. It was cool.
I fucking love that, dude. It's all about, like, any vacation is all about the food, right? Like, amazing food. You're there. It doesn't take any work on your behalf. You're just going out and experiencing the culture through the food. It's like the best thing ever. Like, it's my favorite part about vacations.
It's all about the food, man.
I'm starting to treat myself like that at home, too. You know
what do you mean, Todd?
Like, I want to experience, you know, great food, but I don't want to be the one that has to go out and do all the shopping and all the planning and all that stuff. You know what I mean? I don't mind cooking it. I just want it there ready to go. That's why I'm all about HelloFresh.
Oh, dude, we're talking about getting fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You skip the trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit, Todd.
Dude, I'm telling you what, the holidays are hectic enough the way they are, but HelloFresh helps keep things simple with recipes and ingredients that cut out grocery shopping and they limit your meal prep time so you can spend more of that time celebrating with your family. You know what I mean? That's what the holiday is supposed to be about. Like, this isn't, I'm not some 1920s housewife that wants to be trapped in the kitchen. I can't socialize with the rest of the family. You know what I mean? That's archaic. I want to spend time with my family. I want to play euchre. I want to play Scrabble, whatever they're into. I want to be doing that. I want to be drinking beers. I want to be hanging out, watching football. So this allows you more time for all of that.
You know what, Todd? I think, honestly, for the program like this, you know, if you're new to these type of programs, you're like, oh, yeah, it sounds like it'll be cool for the first couple of weeks, and then it's going to be the same shit over and over. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's where you're wrong, because HelloFresh...
You're so wrong.
HelloFresh offers 50 menu and market items to choose from every week, and that's including vegetarian, You know, that's including fucking Calorie Smart and gourmet options, providing plenty of variety for you guys. Nothing is re on repeat here, dude.
As fall transitions to winter, just think about this. There's nothing better than cozying up with a comforting home-cooked meal. You know what I mean? Recipes like chicken ramen, shoyu-style broth, and turkey ragu, gnocchi. Make it a no-brainer to skip on paying for takeout. Takeout's for chumps.
Turkey ragu gnocchi, bro. Come on. You don't want that gnocchi.
You want some gnocchi? They got gnocchi.
The turkey ragu gnocchi.
I wish my last name was gnocchi.
Me too, bro. I'd just be one fat little piece of pasta all pumped up.
HelloFresh offers flexibility. You need to easily customize your order on the app within minutes. Easily change your delivery day, food preferences, plan size, or skip a week whenever you need. You got flexibility here. That's the point. You're not locked in.
Yep. There are no chains in this fucking operation. Mm-mm. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll tell you, honestly, it really comes down to this. Time and money, folks, okay? HelloFresh is a can't-beat value. Even at full price, it's 30% cheaper than grocery stores. And there's no bumping into fools over by the eggs and by the asparagus, okay?
You don't got to wait in line from some 90-year-old lady that doesn't know how to use the self-scan thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like she can't figure out where her card is in her wallet, you know?
I gotta go through this
sea of bank suckers before I can find what's underneath it. And it takes you 15 minutes. Hey, Sonny. Do you like Werther's? No, I want your fucking debit card so you can pay for this shit and get the fuck out of the way so the line doesn't get backed up.
Please put product back in bagging area. Please put product. We don't need that.
I don't need it in my life, Sean. I don't need it in my life.
Yelling at me? That's the worst part. That's just my favorite part. Bro, you go to the self-checkouts and there's like 9 of them and you walk in and they all start bing-bonging. Welcome to the checkout. I mean, it is unbelievable, bro. And that's why I love this HelloFresh. Now, here's the deal, guys. We're going to get you hooked up, okay?
Here's the hookup.
Here's the hookup. Go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing14. Use promo code GunsBlazing14 and you sign up. You get 14 free meals and 3 free gifts.
Oh, my God. Go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing14 as in the numbers 1-4 and you use the code GunsBlazing14 and you get 14 free meals and 3 gifts, Sean.
This is honestly, Todd, it's no secret. We're talking about America's number one meal kit.
Man, I tell you what, this is, and it's a fun activity to do with your significant other. This is shit prepared by a chef. Like everything you need right there, ingredients, the exact portions that you need, and an easy to go by recipe. You can't go wrong. You're going to come out, you know what, looking like a chef, feeling like a chef.
Yep. Eating like a chef. Like me, kid.
Dude, I'm getting so fat right now. Like, listen.
I was going to ask you, bro. You've been putting on pounds, kid.
Oh, I'm diminishing. Beast like mode. I've gone like I'm way less muscle and way more fat. That's if you had to describe me right now, you're like, not much muscle, a lot of fat.
Yeah. You're a little bit one-sided there when it comes to body index and mass.
I'm going for like the pear.
Uh-huh.
Shape.
You have a good pear shape. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a grimace-ish. Grimace-ish. If you were, but you're not purple. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have a grimace kind of shape. I've never seen your neck so far out past your ears before either like this.
I mean, come on.
It's sort of like a mountaintop.
I got to do something about it. I got to get back on the keto. I don't know what I got to do. I have a whole fucking kick-ass weight room just right here on the other side of this wall.
Right, one wall over, bro.
You know how many times I've used it since COVID? Zero.
Zero. Not to mention, you have one of the best neighborhoods to jog in history. You have a fucking backyard that you can get your workouts in. You have everything. The main thing you have, though, is a big fat bucket of excuses, Todd.
Big fat bucket of excuses. Oh, I got too much shit to do. Oh, I got to watch this documentary. Oh, I got to watch this season of Ozark. With my lady because she hadn't seen it yet. By the way, she is so locked in on Ozark.
Oh,
dude.
She's so lucky that she gets to just watch Ozark like fucking fresh right now.
And you know what? Ozark is a great like watch again series. Like if it's been a long time since you watched it, it is fucking awesome to watch again because there's so many little things that you miss the first time you watch it. You know what I mean? Just the little one-off lines, especially like Ruth. Oh, my God.
Ruth, I'll say she's one of my favorite characters by far.
She has so many like throwaway lines that are just fucking legendary.
Oh, whoever, she's a weed shit talker. She's a trailer park level shit talker.
Dude, whoever wrote for her character is a monster. Like, you know, because she's British.
Yeah. Oh, she is British. I didn't know
that. Yeah, yeah.
The actress.
Yeah, she's British. So, you know, she's got that southern twang. Yeah. And she just rips. Oh, my God. Like, we just watched this one episode, and it's where...
What season?
I think it's in season two.
Okay.
And she has to go by... They're trying to get the casino up and running, right? Uh-huh. So, Marty sends her to go... pay this guy for this paddle boat that they're going to use to convert into the casino, right? Because it's got to be one of those there. The casino's got to float in the river. So anyway, she goes there and there's no engine, right? So she's like bitching at the guy or whatever. And he goes, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little discount. I can knock off a few hundred if you just get up here and just sit on my lap for a couple hours. You know, he's a guy in a wheelchair. He's got a blanket up over him, whatever. And there's this other guy, this squirrely dude next to him. And, She saunters up to him and he goes, there you go. And she fucking front kicks him, dumps him out of his wheelchair, right? So his legs up, upside down. And then she looks at the other guy's like, hey, and she goes, get some skinny bitch. And she fucking kicks him in the nuts. Get some skinny bitch is the greatest fucking line before you assault somebody that I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's coming. Whether you get it or not, it's coming, bro.
Get some skinny bitch.
You get some of this.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Ruth is a savage in that show, bro.
There's a comedian, really, Mary Centaur. Do you know Mary?
No, I do not.
Oh my God. She does Ruth spot on. It's hilarious. Really? It's my favorite impression of all the impressions of anyone, any celebrity or any character ever. It's because you would think she's Ruth. She, if they bring back that character, well, they are. There's going to be a season four.
January 22nd.
They're making a mistake by not hiring Mary Centaur to write for her she is an amazing comedian. So you take an amazing comedian who can do the voice perfect. Uh-huh. Like she makes Ruth even better. I mean, God, I don't know why I didn't think of that before. I should have fucking texted Jason Bateman and planted that seed.
You should have texted him, bro.
Damn, I didn't think about it. They probably made it.
The showrunner on the horn, bro.
What am I doing?
Get the showrunner on the horn, my man.
What am I doing?
Dude, that's what you have that smart device in your hand for, buddy.
Oh, and listen to this.
I'm all ears, Todd.
We texted about this last night. All Roku people, if you didn't see my tweet or whatever, if you right now have to watch Immoral Compass by Bill Burr.
Is it free?
Oh, it's free.
And I have a Roku.
You get it right there from your Roku menu. So just go to the search, type in Immoral Compass or Bill Burr, or either bring it up. But right now, I think it's just on your screen all the time when you first fire up.
By the way, he looks way different in that post. Like he looks like a different guy.
I know. They got they got hair on him, and he looks like, you know, a balding hillbilly. He got a little bit of a mullet.
I can't wait to watch that.
Oh, my God, dude. I don't even want to spoil it for people. Let's just say that it's everything we need out of a comedy sketch show right now, because it's dark as fuck. It doesn't give a shit.
Love that.
Not that it's just setting out to offend people. It's not nothing like that.
Yeah.
But nothing controversial like that. But it's just dark subject matter, dude. I mean, it's fucking awesome.
I'm really excited about that. I saw that because the poster alone, like I always... A lot of times I feel like the artwork really resembles the project itself, because you got to understand that if these people, they know that the sale of the show, the front cover of their show is the artwork for the show. Mm-hmm. If it's trash, that means they probably didn't put much time into the actual cover.
Yeah.
Or art. They sure as fuck ain't putting time into the actual show, which is 10 times harder to do and put work into.
I will not watch a show because of the thumbnail icon.
If it's a stupid ass looking icon, I'm like, this is going to be a dumbass show.
Fucking let your kid fucking design this, you know, like fucking take some pride in your work, bro.
Who did this, bro? It was his preschool art day. Is this where they hold the crayons like it's a knife when you're stabbing somebody? They hold crayons like an ice pick when they fucking did this artwork, man. Hey, bro. What'd you do, Bo? Give this to a room full of kids with no thumbs and a little bit of chalk?
Is this one of these little kids with no arms drawn with these feet? They put a pin between his toes? Is that who did this? You know, good for them, but I, you know, you could have hired a real artist.
Is this that contemporary shit where they roll around in the paint and then just go flop onto a rag? And then they fucking, they call it a masterpiece? Because she felt a certain way emotionally before she fucking stopped, dropped, and rolled in the paint.
Oh, shit. I used to think the same thing about like comedy club or comedy posters, like flyers. Like, dude, because you always put out like professional looking flyers. You have like forever. But you know how many people are like, they just fucking shit all over that. And you're like, I don't want to go see a show. Look how bad your flyer looks, bro.
Yeah, dude.
There's no way you get a comedy.
If you see mostly white background or a certain color, you know, or that old school, a lot of times it's going to be a shittier show. And no disrespect, because a lot of times places can still have a great show with a shitty flyer. But,
sure.
But
if the venue, it is an excuse. Like if the venue people did it, it like the artist has no control over that. Then it can still be an amazing comedian. But like if you're the comedian and you're putting out the flyer and it's shit, your comedy's going to be shit. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. 90% of the time.
If they have one of those fucking rat pack microphones.
Yeah.
You know, when you hold like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles. like that kind of microphone.
Yeah, that kind. I'm just smashing these superiors, bro.
I'm jealous. I'm gonna go. I don't know if we have superiors here. Probably not. But I'm gonna go get. I'll go get some Red Stripe. Whatever. I want the fat bottle back in my life
with the little neck.
Mm-hmm.
A little shorty rock.
The shorty.
I took my me and my girl's daughter went to the liquor store before we did the podcast. You know, and her friend was coming over, so she got some couple things. You know, She got a 4-pack of something, I think, and a 6-pack of something. And then I got a 4-pack of my lady only doesn't drink that often, but she'll have like one or two High Noon grapefruits. So I got her a little 4-pack of those. And I saw a peanut butter stout. I'm pretty good and stoned, and I've been eating a lot of chocolate. I saw a peanut butter milk stout, a chocolate peanut butter milk stout. So I got me a little pack of that. That's only like 18 beers, bro. We got up there, and the lady rings us up, and it's like $50. And she goes, "Well, you guys are going to have a great time with all of that." And I'm like, bitch, this is an 18 pack.
Yeah, this
you're talking
this is not like what you do when you party.
What do you think? What do you think? I would only say that if somebody rolled out of here with a pallet, like with a pallet jack, like walk, like marching away from it with one hand back and shit, like pulling it to a truck where there's a lift where it goes, and then they're fucking, you can roll it off the pallet jack into the back of the vehicle.
That lady obviously does not have a drinking problem, or she does not party, which is a great hire, by the way, by the liquor store. Because she's never going to steal liquor. She don't give a shit about it.
Man, me and my lady's daughter were laughing. We were talking shit on the way out. Like, calm down, lady. It's an 18 pack. Jesus, we're not even using a cart.
There's been several times my lady and I have been in the grocery store and people stare at us like we need to go to AA right now. Like, don't just put the beers down, walk straight to AA because it's just loaded with nothing. But like I got, like, especially with Costco is a good example, right? Costco. Yeah. I buy a case of the Kirkland margarita mix. It's a box. There's 8 giant margarita bottles in
respect
and
Todd.
I load that in there, all kinds of wine because we don't go that often, so we just load up. And then I don't usually get beer there, but last time we did, I did get beer there. And so we had 2 carts. We had 1 alcohol cart and 1 food cart, and people are like, "Oh, you're having a party?
You having a party? Hey, what's the address?" Hey, I'm following you guys out of here. Fuck off, man. Hey, this was the word. That shit's always, somebody always says it, right?
Dude, you know what else happened when we were at Costco? I never had this happen before. Some older dude, I mean, he's wearing like a, you know, he looks like an executive. He's got a nice polo on, nice shoes, whatever. The guy's probably early 60s, mid 60s. And, you know, he's not a bum, is my point. Mm-hmm. And he walks up to me and he goes, "I'm sorry, can I use your phone for a second?" And I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" Like, what? And I just kind of stare at him because I'm like, "But you look so put together. What the?" And he goes, "Nah, I'm sorry. I can't find my wife." He's like, I want to text her and let her know where I am so she can come to me." Like, it was almost in a panic like that or just over it. He's like, he doesn't have his phone. He's like one of those guys, probably doesn't use a phone very often. "Oh, I don't need a phone. My wife's got her phone." So I'm like, well, he looks pretty put together, so sure, yeah. So he texts from my phone to his wife, "I'm over by the farthest register to the right. Find me." And then he gives me back the phone. And I'm like, okay. And then I was like, we just got back, and then I go, whoa, wait a minute. I was like, you didn't put your name. She doesn't even know who this is from. Just some strange number. Text your wife. It says, "I'm over here at the farthest right register. Come find me." And I'm like, what if, and I was telling Angie, I'm like, what if he set me up right now? What if he's murdered his wife? And then he just tricked me into sending the last text message to be retrieved after the fact on her phone. You know, this guy, Todd McComas, texted her and said, "Hey, I'm over here by the farthest right register. Come find me."
And like, what happens? They're from fucking, they happen to be from Shelbyville. Now, like, what are they doing with this ex fucking detective is wrapped up in this case now? What's going on here?
Dude, and what a great way to set somebody up, though. Like, if you murder your wife and you go some public place, you're like, "I'm sorry, I don't have my phone and I can't find my wife. I just want to, can I send her a text?" Because I thought it was weird that he even knew.
You're giving yourself an alibi.
I thought it was weird that he even knew her number. But then I'm like, oh, he's in his 60s. People at that age, they remember numbers, at least of people close to them. But what a great way to set people up. I would have been so fucked. I would, like, I don't know. Some guy came up to you and he was like, like, you're obviously having an affair with this 64-year-old woman who got murdered.
Come clean, McComas. The jig is up, man. You'll feel way better if you just tell us the truth. The fucking classicest, most classic cop lie in history.
Oh.
Listen, man.
That would be a great prank for a prank show. Like, if we went up and we did that hidden camera style, and we're like, "I just want to text her real quick and let her know." "Yeah, sure." And you hand the phone, and then we text something in there that's incriminating. Like, "Well, she's dead." Yeah. Now what?
I'm heading to the docks to pick up 13 kilos of cocaine.
Right.
Are you going to pick me up or not? Text me back at this number. This is me, and this is where I'll be if you want to ping me.
So it was because I just took it like I didn't want to, because here's what happened. It would work because you won't look at it immediately. It'll take you a second. You'll wait for the guy to leave to look, right? Because that's what I did. I waited till he turned around and started walking, because I didn't want to write in front of him like, "Oh, I don't trust you. Let me fucking read this," which I should have done. I should have said, "Well, don't send it until I read it." But I just let him send it and hand me the phone back. And I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to look like an asshole. Like, I don't trust people." So I'm just wait. And he turned around and was walking away over to stand in his spot, and I just looked at him like, you gotta do that again and say who you are. She doesn't know. Some random phone just texted her to hook up.
Oh, man.
Over at the farthest right register.
I'll tell you what, I don't even know why they were there. They should have just fucking called in, got the 14 free meals with Guns Blazing 14 over at HelloFresh. They would have been eating for free. You know what I mean? Come on.
That's what
guy.
I'm saying. What are you doing even shopping for food?
Come
at
on,
this point,
bro. I mean, it's worth it at minimum to do it for a month, because then you get half the month for, you know, do it for a month. You get a half, you get 2 weeks free, and then you can assess, and you're going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. People overlook the fact of, this is obviously not part of the ad read, but just the fact of having the actual specific amount of ingredients. Mm-hmm. I always have so much extra shit in my refrigerator from cooking, you know, because you don't use all of everything. No, of anything. I don't have anything outside of fucking hot mustard.
I can't control portions, dude. I only know how to cook for like 8 people.
Yeah, you and your fucking 2-gallon sized pan full of fucking sausage and onions and eggs all the time. Sausage. Todd is a sausage cooking king.
Oh, my God. And I just have that giant Tupperware container. I eat off of it for a week. That's how I cook. So,
you know what? I love that.
HelloFresh saves people like me.
And my lady, she doesn't get, like, I'm way more of a structured eater when I'm with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you do. Like, well, let's get some breakfast. Well, let's get some lunch. Well, let's get some dinner. Yeah, right? Yeah, like, what you're doing all damn day. Mm-hmm. You know, 80% of your cash goes to fucking meals.
Oh, dude.
And, but I'm by myself, bro. It's not like that at all. Like, yeah, I'll probably make myself some breakfast on some level. And then lunch, kind of, I doubt it. Like, I doubt it unless it's like my buddy hits me up or something. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I'm like, all right, maybe I'll eat, like, I'll eat late. I'll fuck around, eat some shit when I'm stoned throughout the day, some cookies, you know, some chips. Mm-hmm. Well, then I'll probably make myself something or I'll order something later on, but nothing like the repetition and the structured schedule of eating. I am with my lady.
I never get to have breakfast anymore, hardly ever, because my lady doesn't get up on the weekends early enough.
Yeah.
And it kind of pisses me off.
For yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, and I get kind of pissed off. It's like, I want to go out for breakfast or for like an early brunch. I like an early brunch because I'll get breakfast food at my brunch, right?
Yeah.
But we always end up like a afternoon brunch. So yeah, like we did today, but I can't bitch at her because she fucking works two jobs. So
see, you gotta let her sleep, bro.
Maybe she needs some sleep in her life. I'm like, get up. I want to fucking go get some eggs.
Happening. Patrick Mahomes shit in the bed again this week. Obviously, this was last night if you're listening today, but
I mean, his career's over, clearly.
Well, last week he threw 5 touchdowns.
I'm just kidding.
I almost got I broke character. I fucking broke character for that. Well, I don't know.
How about the Colts putting down an ass kicking
today?
Let's
go Colts, bro.
Fucking Bills, dude. I mean,
by the way, the Bills, listen, no disrespect because I love me some Buffalo. I fucking love everything about Buffalo, and I like the Buffalo Bills. Like, it's a team. It's one of my favorite teams. Like, if I'm not cheering for the Colts, I'll be over there with the Bills.
I mean, 3 weeks ago, they were saying they were the best. A lot of people were saying they were the best team in the league.
But then they lost to Jacksonville last week, too, also. So
yeah,
they're going through that little situation like Kansas City went through the 3 weeks prior to last week. And now this week, they're up 19-6 versus Dallas, which obviously not a pushover squad. But Mahomes right now in my little shit league, who had 40 for me last week, has 6 right now.
And at the Ball same time,
fourth quarter.
And at the same time, the Colts are starting to feel it.
It's 100.
They're proving me wrong.
Their earlier losses are 100% coaching fuck ups.
Oh, yeah.
It is Jonathan Taylor ringing up a 150 and 5 TDs against that team last night. That was the number. That was the Buffalo is the number one defense right now in the country. I'm sorry, in the country, in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why don't we say in the country for NFL, by the way? Only college.
I don't know.
In the fucking country, bro. We know, bro. It's
right.
In the league.
In the league.
But, you know, and he just making them every yard, every time, fucking rattles off for 8, 9, banging dudes. Bro, he's an old school guy. Like, to me, he feels like the days of Emmitt Smith and Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders going heads up.
Sure.
So that's how he feels to me as far as what he's doing right now in Indianapolis.
And get like figuring out, because I think he's a generational talent, and he has he's running behind one of the best offensive lines in the country right now. Oh, I'm sorry, in the league right now.
In the league right now.
Yeah. So fuck that up.
In the country right now.
So I don't know. Then the Colts, you know, I was doing some smack talking. I don't like Wentz. I didn't like the fucking whole decision to bring Wentz in. I didn't like what was going on earlier in the season. But it looks like they're coming in their own. Maybe the coaches figured out what they should be utilizing and what they shouldn't. But I think the key is I'm still kind of anti-Wentz because I don't think you can rely on Wentz. Wentz is not by himself going to win you games. He's good. He's good. Yeah. He's very athletic. He's very solid. He's a great dude.
He's like in that realm of like a, I don't know, like a Jared Goff, Matt Stafford-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe I'd say Matt Stafford's better, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jeff, you know, and Jared Goff level action, I'm saying somewhere in there, I feel like a Kirk Cousins type shit.
He's very solid, but he's not going to win. He's not going to be one of those quarterbacks that wins 3 or 4 games a season because of who he is and what he's doing. He's just,
he can
captain your ship. As long as it's a good ship, a good, strong ship, he can captain it very well. And I think that's what's happening right now. I don't know. I'm talking on my ass because I'm not a big sports analyst guy, but I do love me some Colts.
Yeah, me too.
Pretty happy.
I watched them today. I have them on the phone. I'm watching them in the pub earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking little club there. We call it the Knickknack. My lady's parents got a new house and they have a bar in it. Like it's a full fucking pub.
Really?
A 6-seat pub, and it's dope, bro. And he put a TV in there, and it's
nice.
Got a TV and ice maker and a fucking refrigerator shit, full bar. It has that one, you know, like you know, and again, I almost want to say a moment of silence for the fucking inventor of the guy who decided to put the almost like a half pipe of the wood, you know, like when you sit at a bar and it's got that lip, that wooden lip around the bar that has like, it's like a very polished and smooth rounded off where your arms sit.
I think they call it bullnose.
Bullnose. Okay. But you put your arms right in there and you get to lean in nice. That's like in a nice, you know, Irish pub. That they have that on theirs and it's so comfortable. And I just want to see a little moment of silence that we could, Todd, for the guy who invented that.
All right.
All right.
Guys, thanks for hanging with us. Sorry we were late. We each had shit going on. Sean's in a new house, by the way. He just kind of tipped it off, but it's just fucking a major move. They're in a new place. It's fucking awesome. I think have the internet figured out here. I think it was all a cord issue. I got a cord and we've had zero problems during this. How many times have we tried to record as of late? My shit just fucking.
And I'm wireless now. I'm not even hardwired in right now.
Running solid.
Hey, buddy. So
maybe we'll be more consistent.
Hey, let's go Colts, man.
Let's go Colts. Love you,
Virginia
brother.
Beach, December 2nd. Virginia Beach, guys.
Oh, nice. Virginia Beach, December 2nd. For Sean, December 11th in Nashville, Indiana. For me, we're out.
Late.